Well, I can feel some heat coming through up there, finally. Forgot to reset the air conditioning last night when I left. That's why I get here a little bit early. So. All right, well, open with me to Philippians chapter 2. We're continuing on with verse 12. Hopefully get into verse 13 today. So verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Father, we do thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the truth that we find in your scriptures. Father, I thank you for this time of the year when oftentimes we are able to focus more on you in sharing the gospel with our friends and those that we work with and those that we meet. Father, I thank you that hearts are tender this time of the year, but Father, I thank you that you do tenderize hearts throughout the year. And I thank you for the gospel as it goes forward, the truth that's there. And Father, if only those that we talk with were immediately understanding of how wonderful salvation is. It doesn't cure everything that's going on around them, but it gives them a better focus. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for the challenge that we, in each of these lessons, it does ask us to focus a bit more on the scriptures, to understand what you would have us to do as we walk this earth, to do your will in all that we accomplish. And Father, we want to glorify you for all of that, and we ask it for your son's sake. Amen. Well, as we talked last week, we were talking how important it is that working out our own salvation is not that we're working for our salvation, but we're, so to speak, polishing it. We're making it better and better. The longer that we live on this earth, the more we should learn so that when we get to heaven, well, maybe God doesn't have to give us that much more. I don't know. I don't know what, you know, when that transition is, you know, he goes, okay, you're here on the earth. Well, I want you here, so I'm going to give you this much more as you transition. Maybe that'll happen. I don't know. Maybe he'll just leave us where we're at, and then we'll just praise him no matter what. But it's important that we continue, and as this lesson's doing, it's our daily workout. And so our salvation is continuous, that we're going to be working that until we get called to heaven. And so Paul's exhortation to is to the Philippians that he knows that they were appearing to do what was correct, following his teaching, sharing the gospel when he was there, but he was concerned about in his absence. And that's oftentimes, well, some churches, when the pastor's away, the mice will play kind of a thing. You know, it's like, okay, what are we going to learn today? And it's important. I know when, you know, pastor's gone on vacation in previous times, we've had people fill the pulpit, and Brian and myself have filled a few times in there to just to kind of give pastor that opportunity for some time from preaching. And, you know, not that he always wants to go on vacation, because, you know, we have to kind of force him sometimes. Push him out the door so you can go for a while. Don't worry. But that's important. Some churches, people, well, maybe they don't take as what we're talking about here is when with its personal, well, is to a serious approach in how we study and how we grow in the Lord. And, you know, Paul was admonishing to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. And as I was going through, it's telling them to work it out with the correct approach. How do you come to that? Do you just go, oh, yeah, I got this natural ability. I can memorize scripture. I'm, you know, really good at this kind of stuff. You know, and just kind of flippantly, because there are some people that are just good. You can give them some information. Boy, they can just snap it off. You ask them again, boy, they just remember it. Me, I keep working at it and keep working at it and keep working at it. I read it, reread it, run it through my mind, and I ask me 10 minutes later, I'm going to forget it. But the beautiful thing about studying Scripture, though, is you may forget it immediately, but you know what? The Holy Spirit works with us and brings it back to remembrance when it's needed. That's what I found, at least in my life. Maybe that's what happens with yours. I don't know. Some people just have that ability to just open and close those file drawers and pull out the right information at the right time. Mine had gotten kind of rusty for some reason. Well, it's all the salt water I've been around. No excuse. You know, they're really, and honestly, as people study, people might say, I just can't get it. I just can't get it. But it should never be an excuse not to study. We should always approach it with, as it says, in a sense of awe and reverence. And he was telling him, don't take it lightly. I want you to be able to understand what's being taught to you, and also to be able to discern things. Because we have some people that, you know, any new thing comes along, oh wow, I got to try that out. I got to try this out. And the poor, well, like Paul and Adam, I'd call them carnal, because everything's moving them around. You know, oh, this sounds really good. You know, I'll try this, I'll try that. And sadly, I've had people that I've met in the past, and they've been very good, very, very solid teaching, only to find out that they've gone to maybe a more liberal church or completely left church altogether. And you talk with them, and you know, they don't have any real reason why they did it. It's, well, I just want to try something different. I kind of got burnt out on this. I'm going to go do this. And it's important. I don't care if if your Bible study time is every other day, but how you do it, when you put your time in, do you just read it because, oh, okay, I got my Bible study done. I'm working my way through the Bible in a year. I'll get it done. I'll show up. Well, this is kind of what some people might think. You know, work out your salvation with awe and reverence. But, you know, indicators of a serious approach. And when we think about that, you know, in your estimation, how seriously do most believers take their spiritual growth? Some people take it very seriously. Others, I go there. You know, you see them, they got a Bible in their hand when they come to church. But if you see them during the week, they're no different than anybody else. And that's a sad testimony. And it's really, really sad. So what are some of the indicators that someone's taking his or her spiritual growth seriously? Now, I got a bunch of canned answers up here, but maybe you got something. Well, click them if you got them. So what are some indicators? Pastor?
Regular time for devotions.
Right, regular time for devotions. Others? Brother Rick?
Whenever you get around somebody who wants to talk about God all the time, they've been with
you. Exactly. Yeah, enjoy that fellowship time. You know, and oftentimes, you know, you might be with somebody and you're talking, you might not get on spiritual things, but if that person loves the Lord and you love the Lord, all of a sudden the conversation's going to turn.
Yeah.
And it's exciting. Any other indicators? Lisa?
Serving.
Serving. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing? You know, what's your ministry outside of the church and within the church? Brother Chris, you had your hand up.
You're not content to stay where you are.
Yeah, you're not content. See, that should be every one of us, our desire. And we may not get beyond a certain point, but you know what? Our desire is to learn. My desire is to, you know, do what I'm supposed to do every day, you know, and there's times that I don't, honestly. You know, I'll get caught up in something else, and bingo, I go, oh, I didn't, oh, man. So I'll try to make it up. But our desire's there. So some of the things, well, I'll put a few of them up here. You know, attend church faithfully. You know, some people go, well, you got to be there every service. If the Lord, you know, if you're hindered from coming to a service, don't feel bad about not being there. You know, the desire is to be there, and maybe you can't make it. Maybe your health conditions. Maybe it's, well, sometimes here we have to cancel service because of the weather. Our church we attended back in Connecticut, now I think this is about the second or third week in a row because of the ice and snow that they've had there. Because where their church is located, It's on a two-lane road away from everything. And to get there, it's uphills and downhills. And they want, you know, personal safety. That's not always an excuse, but, you know, you think about it. You know, guard set time is set aside for Bible study. We talked about that. Praise consistently. Not, you know, it tells us to pray continuously. And there's times when, you know, it's like people, well, you know, my best prayer time is on the road. So if you drove by their car and their eyes are closed, stay away. You can pray with your eyes open. desires to help others grow. That's important. You know, we should be encouraging others. And oftentimes, you know, we should challenge each other. Maybe say, hey, what have you been studying this week? Some people would be humming away. Let's see. Set spiritual goals, like I've talked about. Not content where you're at. Move forward. You know, if we're stalled where we're at, we're actually backsliding. That's what it really comes to. Thankfully, you know, the Lord knows what's in our heart and on our desires. And sometimes we need a little swift kick. And that'll work with this. So, you know, Paul viewed this working it out as an act of obedience. That's really what it tells us to do. You know, as he said, wherefore, beloved, as ye have always obeyed. And when he was around, they obeyed. He was worried that when they weren't around, when he wasn't around, when he was separate from them, were they going to grow? And that's a lot of what he wanted them to, yeah, because I'm here, you guys are doing what you're supposed to do. I'm worried that because I'm not with you now, have you fallen back? Have you kind of fallen into what others are doing? Like in the church in Corinth, people were, you know, being drug out for all sorts of different reasons, and they were coming up with all sorts of excuses. Well, that's one thing about here. He never said, well, you've made an excuse why you're not here. He says, I just want to make sure that you're going forward and not going backward. So, you know, they were showing obedience. So, you know, are we working or are we on vacation? That's another way to look at this, too. Do we just kind of, okay, I'm going to get to this point in my life and I'm just going to coast? Some people, well, you know, I got to a certain age, I retired from doing what I did previously. Well, it didn't mean that I quit working. In fact, I started my own company. I'm supposed to be retired, but I, you know, want to keep the brain going. You know, some people don't. They just kind of get into a coasting position or a stalled position. So, you know, it's when you think about that, it says, I wished I were a stronger believer, but instead I have chosen to. What are some excuses people toss in there? Any ideas? You know, and we probably met people on visitation or maybe with something. You know, I'd really like to be in church, but man, it's, well, football season's over, right? Well, not yet. You got the Super Bowl coming up, but some people, or what's the favorite one? I work 10 hours a day, 5 days a week, 6 days a week. Sunday's my only time to rest, you know? Well, some people get their rest, you know, when they come in here, kick back in the chair. Pastor gets to see them. Lisa gets to see them. You know, no, not really. Nobody here does that. So we keep the temperature low in here so you can cut. You have to stay awake. No, not really. You know, but are we applying what we're learning to our everyday situations? You know, there are times when, you know, we need to actively apply what we've been learning in our lives. But, you know, some people, you know, they might say things like, run my children to all their activities. Soccer moms in here, anybody? Soccer dads? Hard work, you know, work hard to get ahead financially. Some people make that their excuse. I've heard people, you know, they get so caught up in things that, you know, they'll work hard, but they won't work hard for church. You know, it says, if somebody was on a vacation, you know, get a postcard. You know, someone wrote a postcard describing his vacation as a way of having a wonderful time, wished I could afford it. You know? If we're on vacation and not working out our own salvation, it says our own, not somebody else's. You know, we can't be considering others better than ourselves. and at the task of showing a genuine concern for them. Remember, consideration, concern, and cooperation in the work of the gospel require that we work and not just wish. You know, there's other things. You know, sleep in. It would be nice. Some people have their set day. They get up at 5:30 or some other time through there routinely. And there's other days like, oh, I'm just going to sleep in. You know, boy, they sure start church early here. Yeah. Spend time on my hobbies. I'd love to spend a lot of time on my hobbies. But it's more important, you know. There's always time for those. And then, you know, and there's a balance in there. You know, if you spend time in the book, spend time in prayer, maybe God will give you that time to work on those hobbies. It's that balance. That's the big thing. You know, and every one of us here, you know, ask me, you've got some hobby of some sort. I have lots of them. I enjoy learning things. But no more important than being in the Word and studying and finding the time to study. That's the other, is setting aside that time. You know, sets of time, you know, we talked on the other side, you know, sets our, you know, when we do that. Some people are in the morning, some are in the evening. You know, some do both. You know, so have a certain devotion in the morning or maybe prayer time waking up, and maybe in the evening time they spend time reading. You know, it's important. It really is. You know, sometimes we'll piously say they wish they were holier. That's what some of them said. Their wishes are really not more than a cover for bad choices they've made. The expression, I know I'm not growing as a Christian, but I really wished I were. You know, if we're in the Word, we're going to be growing. Not as fast as some people, maybe faster than others. Everybody's different. That's why, you know, when we got saved, God didn't say, okay, it's time to come home. Now, he has done that to some people because he knows that they're not going to go any further. That's something that's, to me, is finding out that in God's eyes, you've gone as far as you can go. To me, that's a death warrant. That's a death wish in reality, honestly. If you're not growing, you're really dying. You're being stuck around that. What the person actually wishes for is whether he or she has really chosen what she's really chosen instead of choosing to grow in the Lord, to grow in Christ. If we've chosen not to put our heart and soul into our study in, and he's not asking us to spend 8 hours a day studying, maybe that's what we need to do. Sometimes that might be required. Sometimes he might wake you up in the middle of the night and say, hey, I need you to really pray about this. Sometimes we need to give up a little sleep to take care of something and study. So, you know, how might a believer, you know, who wishes, you know, we've shown this up here. It says, I wish I were a stronger believer, but instead I've chosen to, and it says right here, you know, these things. And as I was going through, I found kind of a statement of Adam Clark wrote. It says, with fear and trembling, considering the difficulty of the work and the danger of miscarriage, if you do not watch, pray, and continually depend on God, your enemies will surprise you and your light and life will become extinct. Then consider what an awful account you must give to him whose spirit ye have grieved and whose glory ye have come short. Now, I don't want to stand in front of the Lord, and I know I'm going to be embarrassed when I do stand there for a lot of things that I didn't do when I should have done them. And all of us will fall into that. But we cannot do anything to secure that salvation. Pastors talked about it. We've taught lessons about what the importance is. Our belief and doing is all that we've done for our salvation. Christ did it all. We just accepted that free gift. After that, it's working. It's working to polish it. You know, we're working out. We're not to sit back and wait for the rapture. That's, some people do, and it's going to be a sad point for them. But to continue to build our spiritual strength and knowledge, becoming as strong as Christian as possible. Because if we're not staying strong, what's going to happen? You know, it's what Peter wrote, that and Christ pointed out to him, and that there's a lion walking about. trying to devour us. Satan will stop at nothing. He enjoys it when, you know, we'll maybe watch a little more television than we do our scriptures. We'll watch, or we'll do a little bit more something else other than time in prayer. It's so very important. You know, it's that, you know, that what we're learning, we'll be able to carry out God's will in our life on this earth. And it leads us right into the second verse, or in verse 13, that tells us that, you know, for it is God which worketh in you both to do, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when we're studying, what are we doing? We're enabling or working out our salvation. When by enabling that, in verse 13, we're doing what God has asked us to do. It's not that we're, you know, well, you know, I'm going to do this because I know that I'm going to gain this. Well, we can probably tell ourselves that if I study, I know that's what God wants me to do. Some people study just to tick off a point. Oh, I read through my Bible. I've had people tell me that. Yeah, I've read the Bible. Well, did you learn anything? You know, it's just like another book. I've had people tell me that. It's just like another book. Yeah, me, it's like no other book, really. When you study that thing, I mean, I don't care how many times you read it, you know, you find something new every time. You know, I read one verse one day, come back to the next day, and it taught me something different in there. I've had some preachers that only, that's one verse, and they preach that. Evangelists will go out and they use one verse. Was it Brother Stevens when he came back here? He had one verse, and he came two or three years in a row. It was that same verse. He just gave us another version of it as he was going through there, how it was being applied. And I'm pretty impressed, you know, just because there's so much in here that if we were to gain it all, we'd still not have enough knowledge about the Lord. You know, what's that one song talks about? If the ocean was ink and the sky was parchment, you know, we'd run them dry by writing what he has. You know, there are commentaries and commentaries, but this book right here, there's so much commentary in it that you can't get enough of it, really. When we sit and study, I mean, there's times when, you know, I'll be working with one of the lessons here, and, you know, my wife goes, oh, what were you just doing? I said, oh, I need to study a little more on this area. Middle of the night, I'm out reading something. I'm sure any one of us has probably had that issue, you know, at one point or another. God wants us to understand maybe something a little bit better. And I know the last lesson, I was challenged with some of that stuff. And there were some middle of the night readings. Oh, Lord, I know that's what you want. Yeah, a little more red pen, write it down here on my side notes. But, you know, if it's really possible to work out our, you know, is it really possible to work out salvation? Are we able to show in our lives and relationship that we're truly saved? That's what the real crux of that is. There are people walking around that are very moral, and if you didn't talk with them but watch their actions, you might think that they're saved. And some people, when you talk with them, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, why do you do what you do? Well, you know, I'm just supposed to do it. And one man that I worked with, his parents taught him that at Christmas time it was important to go down and help those who were less fortunate than them. That's how he was raised. And he was a pretty decent person until I found out that he'd been caught embezzling and spent some time in jail for his embezzlement, and he still had hung on to that belief that as long as he was, you know, helping the less fortunate, he was doing good. Well, I had a chance to share the gospel with him about that. I don't know if he ever got saved, but he looked at me going, you mean what I was doing wasn't right? I says, yep, what you were doing was not ever going to be enough. I said, it's that free gift. And in fact, I was helping him move out of his the building, the suite that he was in. In fact, when we were down on 3rd Street, he wanted to know, why are you doing this? I says, because you're a decent man, and I want to show you what Christians really do. Just because you had this kind of a lifestyle and you had this kind of your way of life isn't going to stop me from trying to help you. And I'm not helping you just to say that I'm better than you. No, I'm helping you because you need some help. Nobody else is helping you, and I want to share the gospel with you. And he was kind of taken back by that. That it was like, I said, I'm not expecting anything out of this. I'm not looking for, I'm not doing it to make myself any better. You need a helping hand. But here, let me share something with you that's free. And it opened his eyes a little bit. Now, I honestly have not run into the man since then, but he did acknowledge that he did need the Savior. And I do pray that he did. But that's important. We need to do that. You know, our energy comes from, you know, the word energy comes from what they're talking about here, where it says, you know, worketh in you. God, actually, the Holy Spirit, when we get saved, we get all the Holy Spirit that we're going to ever get. You know, it's like that gas tank that never runs empty. It's just, all right, how much of it are you going to use? God's always got the nozzle in, and no matter where we go, it's being filled. He's taking care of us. And, it's how much work are we doing? That's that accelerator that we've got. You know, some people are real good at running all wide open. And some people say, well, is it going to burn out sooner or later? Well, if they're doing it in the Lord's direction, nope, they're not going to run out. Some people have that ability. And I'm impressed with that. Some of us, we know how, you know, what the Lord wants us to do. We just don't want to make sure that, well, we're going to get on this governor and we're just going to coast. You know, we want to make sure that we're always doing a certain amount of work for the Lord. Sometimes we need to do more work than what we might think we need to do. We might, you know, it says he energizes us to do what he wants us to be and to do what he wants us to do. That's what he's doing in our lives as Christians. You know, and in truth, it should motivate us to cooperate with him by putting forth a dedicated effort to manifest our salvation in practical ways. And sometimes the practical ways are not the ways that we think that we should be doing them. The Lord might give us an opportunity. I'm sure Matt and Rebecca didn't really, while they were moved up and with the National Guard, plan to go to Australia. The Lord says, hey, this is what I want you to do. You know, Brother Chris, I'm sure the same thing. When you're moving out here, the Lord gave you an opportunity. You didn't say, well, you know, I'm going to go hunt a church up out there and then I'm going to find a job. Well, the opportunity to move, and then you look, hey, this is what we got here. Same with Brother Britt, you know, coming in the area. Each one of us. I know I grew up here, and I looked at several churches, and finally the Lord planted us. Sometimes he puts us in a spot to do something for a period of time, and he says, okay, I want you to move. You know, there's some evangelists that are that way, or some preachers. Their goal is to get things to a certain point, and the Lord says, okay, it's time for you to move now. You need to move your ministry to this other place. But before he does, he always puts somebody there to take up what that person's going to leave behind. You know, and that's important. We do what the Lord wants us to do. You know, and we're doing it in such a way that our life should be pleasing to the Lord. There are some people that are looking for financial gain in life. They might be a good Christian, but they will look for a job before a church, which is really sad. You know, being in the military, we moved a lot of times. So I wasn't afforded the opportunity to know, once we got saved, to know that I was going to find a good church there. But you know what? The Lord blessed. He gave us good churches at every one of our duty stations after that. And I'm thankful that he did. And, you know, and I grew each time with that because we were put in different situations. Remember, shortly after we got saved, we moved to Vallejo, California from Hawaii. We were in a church in Hawaii, and we were kind of existing, and my patrol cycle let me be home 6 months of the year, but in 3 months chunks. So I didn't really grow much. The church I got into next in Vallejo, his belief was, when you're in our church, you may not do a whole lot. He said, but when you leave, you'll learn to be a worker. And I was in the Navy shipyard. And we figured out in the 2.5 years I was there, I averaged 20 hours a day on the boat, 7 days a week. There were days I didn't come home because of work. But the pastor made sure that when we were in church, we would do something like, hey, we have a new visitor. Would you like to sit down with him and just talk? Maybe invite him for home for dinner? Because he knew that I wasn't, you know, my schedule wouldn't allow me to be there that often. And he was gracious. It was interesting, when I left the next church that we went to, when we moved to Connecticut, I said, when I met the pastor, I said, you know, the God asked us to, you know, to be in a church building program of some sort. I didn't realize it was going to put us literally on the ground floor. We spent 8 years moving from building to building until we found a piece of property. And now that church just celebrated 40 years. And it was a warehouse when we started. It was overgrown with vines. And the Lord put us there. He let me use my mechanical ability and HVAC and a variety of things like that to take an old decrepit system, put it together. It ran for 25 years. It was a used system. And so it's 25 years after we left, they were taking up a collection for a new furnace. And they just celebrated 25 years with the pastor they currently had, who was our Sunday school teacher when we were there. And he's taken over that church, and now it's a beautiful church. It was a building, 10,000 square feet. They had their own school. It was on 6 acres, and literally overgrown with every kind of vine you can think of. They have now have a nice house on there. But the Lord allowed me to work in that church. And then from there, moved to another one and worked in the sound systems. And the Lord just used things as we go along. And I'm sure, you know, I think of each one here, there's talents that this church has brought together, and it's put it in such a way that what we're doing is pleasing the Lord. And it's a talent. The Lord has given us all talents to use, and how he uses them. So it's pleasing to the Lord. So when we look at verse 13, God indicates that he's working in us to will and to do his good pleasure. How likely is God to slack off on his obligation in a believer? Kind of an obvious question. He's not likely to slack off. In fact, he's probably going to encourage us to do as much as we can. He's never going to ask anything more than we're able to give. And if he does, he's going to show us how to get there. He's going to give us that strength. You know, this is something to think about. It says, when have you sensed God tugging at your heart and building in you a desire to do his will? Anybody maybe want to give a short testimony on that? If not, you know, I just gave you mine a bit of how God has tugged at our heart to build on do things. But I'm sure each one of us probably does have something like that, when God gives us that ability and then gives us a desire to do that. So how can we deepen our awareness of God's working in our lives? Anybody have a thought on that one? How can we deepen that? I don't want to miss. Spend a little more time here. Brother Charles?
I was going to say, watch and pray.
Watch and pray. Watch and pray. You know, studying. Maybe it's just talking with fellow Christians. You know, opportunities come up. When we're talking, it's like, wow, oh, I hadn't thought about that. You know, I've been enjoying working with Brother Ron. He's, I don't know if you've known, but he's taken taillights off from cars and made lamps out of them. And he's been struggling with one of them. A friend just asked him to commission him to make. And, if you get a chance, ask him to show you a picture of it. But the man is going to actually put it on the internet to show off, and wants him to take one of the other pieces and put it in one of his shows. And if you talk with Brother Ron, he's a real quiet man. And he's now kind of worried, because all of a sudden he might have some clients that he has to do this with. But, you know, he's taken his ability of his, and he's sharing things with these people as he goes through there. That's what he's trying to do, and saying, well, how can I use maybe the talent that God's given me? How can I do it in such a way that will glorify God and the ability? You know, one of the hardest places for us oftentimes, you know, some people is in our local church, you know. So-and-so is much better than me at doing that, so I'm really not, you know, I'm not going to try to do anything. I'm just going to, you know, kind of sit here and take my time. But, you know, it's, if we have a talent, God will use that in such a way that if somebody else is currently doing that, they're never going to override that. He's going to make it to where you can work harmoniously. That's what's the beauty here in this church. We have people that have a lot of the same talents. And it's exciting to see how God is working out so each one can use those talents at times necessary. You know, but there's times when, you know, people working in close proximity like that, you could have problems. I'm thankful that the Lord hasn't had that happen here, because he's had people come with gracious hearts. Those talents and stuff, you know, we might have differing opinions, but we're able to talk about them and say, oh, okay, I understand that point. Well, how about this? You know, and work through things. And so, you know, we can be optimistic about the, how, you know, we can be very optimistic when we talk like that. And God's working in all of us both to do, to will and to do his good pleasure. All that we're doing here when we come is glorifying God in how we're doing it. Not the fact that we're just sitting in the pew, but we're here with a heart, one, open to learn. The other is to share our talents, our abilities, to fellowship with one another, and just to forward, you know, what God is doing in our lives. You know, I'm excited to see what God has planned for us in this new year, you know, with what we can do, you know, for our missionaries, for instance, or what we can do as a church, you know, praying that, hey, Lord, you know, we really need a little bit more facilities. Is the Lord going to provide that? Well, we have people praying about that. We have people looking. And we're thanking the Lord that he's allowing us to be content where we're at. And when we get that properly done, he'll move us on as he sees fit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the blessings of your gospel. We thank you, Father, that the work we do here is to glorify you. And Father, in doing so, should encourage us to know that you are being glorified and satisfied in the work that we're doing. Father, we shouldn't be prideful in the work, but we should be thankful for the work that we're able to do, the talents that you give us, and the ability to be able to share that without any gloating or our prideful attitude. Father, I look through this group and I thank you for each and every one that's here. I thank you for the blessings that each one exudes as we talk. And Father, for the music, the sound, the ability to be able to just share with one another the blessings that you've given to us, and to be able to pray for each other as we find that there's a concern. And I thank you for that, Father. I thank you for, again, for the blessings that you give to us. I thank you for the encouragement that you give to us. And we do ask it in your Son's precious name. Amen.